Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yesterday, today and forevermore, what you say is what you do. You never fail, you never change. You are faithful till the end. Faithful God, I worship you. I worship you. You're too faithful to fail me. You're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. To fail me, oh Jesus, you're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
Good morning, top of the morning to all our listeners. It's a pleasure as always to be with you. You're welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. I hope you're all having a wonderful Sunday. This really is a day that the Lord has made. Yes, indeed, He is too faithful. He's too kind, he's too loving, he's a long, you know, long suffering God in terms of his patience with us, and I think that's enough to thank him for. Let's just begin to commit our session today to the Lord. Thank him for his faithfulness. Let's thank him for his faithfulness, his loving kindness, his tender mercy. The Bible says of his mercies were not consumed. And so Father, we thank you for your goodness to each and every one of our listeners. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, the things that only you can do. Thank you, Lord, for thus far you have brought us. Thank you for your sustaining power and your sustaining grace. We commit today's session unto you. We ask for an abundance of your Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to instruct us, to jiggle our memories and bring things back to remembrance. That even as we study, there be a grace released over the airways to everyone that listens, to be an empowered to receive insight, revelation, understanding, and to have a walk in the Spirit, you know, walking with God, to experience something different, unique, even by virtue of being here today. At the end of the day, Lord, let your name alone be glorified. As always, we want to remember those who are in our midst, were not with us today, basically, and maybe somewhere else, whatever they're going through, wherever they are. We ask, Lord, that you will meet them also at the point of their need. Those that need your healing power, I pray that your virtuous power will reach out to them also to bring healing, restoration, you know, whatever it is they desire. I pray, Lord, you meet them also at the point of their need. I want to remember all our family members, all those connected and rooted with us. We pray for each and every one of them. And I pray, Lord, you strengthen each one of our listeners to find some time to lift up their family members, to lift up their loved ones in the place of intercession and prayer. This we ask of you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. And with me this morning, I have an anchor. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
Yes, good morning, everyone. My name is Yinka Akinsonya. You may have heard my voice before, but I'm very happy to be here with Pastor, and I can't wait to learn.
All right, bless you. So Yinka will be helping with some of the readings as we go along, and we'll see how we can get today to flow. Okay, so quick recap. We're looking at walking with God. We had a series which we started, and we started in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're examining what happens when the king that you want is not, you know, is not God. And basically the Israelites had a phase in their life and their walk with God where they desired to have a king. We know the story of the first king they had, you know. So humans, you know, want certain things, they desire to do certain things, they want to kind of walk without the Lord. And so humans begin to fail, and we see God walking in the background. So first was King Saul, and he fails. We were studied some time back about the obedience of King David and Saul, and Saul's disobedience and all of that stuff. But in this story, we're looking at King David. I want to look at a part of his own walk as well. But one thing I want us to recognize, that in the backdrop of all of these kings reigning and leading to the best of their abilities, there is the ultimate king who is always in the background, you know, and he's always been there. And if only humans will learn, and the Bible says these stories are written for our learning, you know, and I pray that the Lord will help each one of us to learn, you know. And I did say last week that the story is not about Samuel, though it's written in the book of Samuel, and it's not necessarily having the two kings as the primary figure, but really how human beings will walk with God, you know. And the question thrown to us was, what do you do when everything you've worked for, you know, is lost, when all your investment is gone, when all your family is gone, when your health and well-being is compromised, you know, when you've made a terrible mistake? So that's the kind of question we're really trying to, you know, understand through this story. And you know, your reputation is down, gone down the drain, you know. And I said you might be in that season now, or you might know somebody who's going through that season, you know. And we found in this story that the story documented in 1 Samuel chapter 30, that King David got to this point, and we see this particularly in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. It says David was now in great danger because all of his men were very bitter, okay, about losing their sons, their daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. So remember, we're looking at walking with God, and this is the king who is in a terrible situation. Like I asked the question, when you've lost everything, they've lost their sons, they've lost their daughters, they've lost their wives, the village was burnt down, so their livelihood, all of that was gone. What do you do in that kind of situation? And even his own men were turning in on him here. And then we looked at a couple of scriptures. I think it was First Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, finally my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So in the conclusion, it says, another version says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, draw strength from him, and be empowered through your union with him. I really like that version. So when we're saying, what do you do, you know, it says, be strong in the Lord, that's draw strength from him, be empowered through your union with him, you know. And I pray that the Lord will give that as a counsel to each and every one of us. We also looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 8 to 10 for extra notes for those taking notes. So those were some of the stuff we captured last week. Right, so we're moving on in that story, and I remembered something very interesting we're considering at the end. We said then when David now decided he was going to turn in the direction of the Lord, I think this was the last scripture that we met, verse 7 says, and he said to Abithar the priest, bring me the ephod. Okay, so Abithar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, all right, shall I chase after this band of raiders, and will I catch them? So his question, his inquiry to the Lord, he decided to seek the face of the Lord, you know, emphasizing he's deciding to walk in that direction, not lean on his own understanding. And he was seeking to tap into what the scripture was telling us in Ephesians chapter 6, into the union, the relationship that he had. But there was the right protocol, so he went through the priest, who is an intermediary, okay, between God and his people. And it's very important we understand the important roles that certain people God has put in our lives to be that intermediary. And so when we are coming to the presence of the Lord, I want to seek the counsel of the Lord, you know, it's very, very important. And the Bible says, and the Lord told him, yes, go after them, and he will surely recover. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So he got the answer to both his questions. All right. Now, then the next thing was David moving on with the 600 men. But before we go to that, I want to just recap, because I did mention last week that even the whole idea of Ziklag was given to him by a gentleman, a king, another leader, what you call Achish. And that story is documented for us in 1 Samuel chapter 27. So Yinka is going to read for us from 1 Samuel 27. I think we're looking at verses 1 to 10.
Okay. Okay. 1 to 12.
1 to 12. Okay, fine. Okay. So we're looking at the background of how they got to Ziklag in the first place. Yes.
Okay, I've got the NIV open here.
Okay,
that's fine. So it says, but David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. 2. So David and his 600 men with him left and went over to Achish, son of Maok, king of Gath. David and his men settled in Gath with Achish. Each man had his own family with him, and David had his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, if I found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned for me in one of your country towns, that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So on that day, Achish gave him Ziklag, and it has belonged to the kings of Judah ever since.
Okay, so what verse have we read there? 1 to 6. Okay, what we'll do now, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and look at this very interesting story. So we're trying to understand the genesis behind Ziklag, you know, and remember I said as a gentleman, now we've established he's a king, and he gave David favor, you know, and then we'll carry on from there. So we'll come back after the break.
Thank you. where justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave His life for us, and our measureless debt was erased.
If you're joining us, yes, we just had a break. You're tuned into Morning Dew, and lovely track there, really lovely track. We hope that you know, ministers to you. Okay, so we were recapping from last week, and we've just started looking into some origin of the city Ziklag, or the area territory called Ziklag. And my guest had just read from verses 1 to, is that 6?
6, yes, we just read 1 to
and
6.
And so we want to carry on from verses 6 down to 12, and then look at what we can learn about King David's action. You know, there's a couple of things we can learn from him at this stage of his journey, and then how he's changed by the time he gets to what's happening in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Right, so carry on, please, verse 7.
Okay, so from 6, we know Achish gave him Ziklag, and then 7, David lived in Philistine territory a year and 4 months. Now, David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Gerizzites, and the Amalekites. From Amalekites of the ancient times, these people had lived in the land, extending to Shur and Egypt. 9, whenever David attacked an area, he did not leave a man or woman alive, but took sheep and cattle, donkeys and camels, and clothes. Then he returned to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where did you go raiding today?" David would say, "Against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of Jerahmeel, or against the Negev of the Kenites. He did not leave a man or woman alive to be brought to Gath, for he thought they might inform on us and say, this is what David did. And such was his practice as long as he lived in the Philistine territory. Achish trusted David and said to himself, he has become so obnoxious to his people, the Israelites, that he will be my servant for life. So that's the end of it.
Okay, so what do you pick about David? You know, this is an early part of his journey. So first, we established that Achish is the king himself.
Yes.
Right? And David seemed to have had some favor with him.
Yes.
And gave him the territory of Ziklag.
Yes.
Okay, which in chapter 30 becomes his headquarters. But we can see that even from, you know, that time on, he had this habit of raiding different territories, and he spared nothing.
Yes.
Okay, so when we're reading what happened to him in chapter 30, is this nemesis catching up with him, or, you know, that's just life?
It's interesting.
Very interesting, exactly. And my question is, I think if you look at the beginning, this is my comment, I'd like to know what your views are. But if you look at the beginning, he said he was going to go into the land of the Philistines to get away from Saul.
Yes.
If you look at the beginning of the verses there.
Yes.
You know, so again, you will see a lot of activities on the behalf of David, but it's not documented here if he really sought the Lord
before he ran,
if for direction, or he was in his own strength. And, you know, and I think by the time he got to chapter 30, that blow that hit him, which is what he was dealing to other people, you know, got him to a point where it's like, my goodness. You know, and that's why I just wanted us, our listeners, to see the past and see his own progression. And it happens to all of us. There are ways we deal with things. There are ways we do things in our own strength. There are ways we try and solve our own problems. And we're not seeking. And I said, there is always the ultimate king in the background. He's very quiet. His Holy Spirit is very gentle. He doesn't struggle with anybody. I don't know. What are your observations about?
Yeah, I was just thinking about a lot of what you're saying, because I think there's been several instances in scripture where people are so smart. People are so smart, they know what they're doing.
And
they think they know what they're doing. And right. God is not interested in people like that. And I think it's an example is in the Tower of Babel, where they were so organized, they were so good, they almost knew what they were doing, and God knew if they carried on, they wouldn't seek him anymore. And then when we think about when God asked when the Israelites wanted to choose Saul, and God knew they were choosing a king for themselves, they would definitely forget about him. And he said, I want someone who is after my own heart, which is David. So God is more interested in us seeking him out. And I think we tend to forget a lot as well. A lot of us do that same thing. We do the same mistakes. And I think the main point here is that we think that God cannot speak to us now. But is that God still speaks?
Well,
God can direct us.
It's interesting, because our topic is walking with God.
Yes.
And all through these stories, at whatever stage of the life of Saul, whatever stage in the life of David, whatever stage in his battles, his raiding different territories, God has always been in the background.
Yes.
You know, and so, like you said, we have seasons where we run in our own strength. In the Bible says in Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him.
And he will guide.
You know, and I think when we're walking with God, that's something that's very important, that we acknowledge him in all our ways, not when it's convenient, not when we feel like, or not when we're in a rut and it's like, okay, God, you know. And I keep telling people, you know, your relationship with God is not a fire engine approach, let's blow the alarm, let's call 999. It doesn't work like that. You want to establish this relationship. You want to make sure that's consistent for you, and that provides a lot of security. The risks are less, you know, not that you will not face trials, but you know that God being with you, if God is in Jesus in your boat, if the Lord is on your side, then you're on the winning side, you know.
Yes.
And I just thought we'll just highlight some of those you know, lessons there. Was there anything else you picked up as well?
Sorry, I was just thinking about Daniel. I know, okay, it may sound like I'm
taking
it out, but I think Daniel is someone who also faced some challenges, but I think the scripture recorded him as someone who actually actively sought the Lord.
Sought the Lord.
So he's one of those few examples in the Bible where you think you can't really pinpoint a time where it was so like pinned back to the point that God didn't deliver him.
And why would you say that was? Because he actively...
He was.
So if we're learning, which is our answering our question, this whole idea of actively seeking the Lord is so very important. Okay, so interesting points to notice there.
Yeah.
Again, want to encourage our listeners to really have a good look and do your own due diligence, all right, and see what else you can pick up. So remember, we're coming back now to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and thanks for that. That was really insightful reading chapter 27. Right, so he sought the priest. He had two questions, and the Lord has answered his question. So we're now about verse 8. Verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 30, he says, so David and his 600 men. So if you notice also in 27, he still had these 600 men. So yes. With all his raids, he didn't lose any man.
That's
wow.
Actually important.
Don't play with David though. David was a big...
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, but sometimes we take these things for granted if we don't read
it. I actually didn't think
you know.
That, yes.
So in terms of being on the battle, he's
that's favor.
hey, you know. So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Besor, B-E-S-O-R, okay? But 200 of the men were too exhausted. So if you don't know what they've been doing, now you have an idea. They've been raiding. These guys are constantly fighting, you know. And of course, he relied on the 600 men. He decided he was going to go follow the instruction as being, you know, led by, well, being making a choir from the Lord to go and overtake. And the Bible says he got to the brook Besor, but 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued the pursuit with 400 men. Okay, so now let's look at something very interesting. In verse 11, it says, along the way, they found an Egyptian man in a field, okay, and brought him to David. So his men found this Egyptian man in the field, brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink, and they also gave him part of a fig cake. And two clusters of raisins. For he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights. Being long, his strength returned. Okay, so before long, I beg your pardon, his strength returned. So obviously this guy was exhausted. 3 days, no eating, no drinking. Okay, verse 13 says, to whom do you belong? So they inquired of him, now that he had his strength, you know, so he must have been really out, knocked out completely. Well, he got revived. And where do you come from? David asked him. He says, I'm an Egyptian, a slave of Amalekite. He replied, my master abandoned me 3 days, okay, because I was sick. So because he was sick, they just abandoned him, and he'd been there for 3 days. All right, so we were on our way back from raiding. These guys are always raiding one another. The Kerekites, okay, in Negev, the territory of Judah, and the land of Caleb. And he had just burned Ziklag. So he was one of those that had dealt the blow to Ziklag. Okay, so he's now telling David, giving him an insight. I, in my notes, what I put here, I put in my notes here, let me see what I wrote exactly, divinely orchestrated ally. So this is a divinely orchestrated ally for David, because a lot of the stuff David didn't know, he had a lot of insight. And then because of what he had, he says, will you lead me to this band of raiders? David asked. And the young man replied, if you take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me and give me back to my masters, then I will guide you to them. So he recognized that he had very strategic battle information, okay, but then he was at risk. You know, and the Bible said the city of Ziklag is an interesting archaeological mystery, all right, just some notes, in the south of Israel till today. And this is the city where David and all his men returned to, and it had been burnt down, okay, and their wives and their children. So we've gone through all of that story, and we're seeing them coming in contact with this ally, you know. And so you can see now that David is negotiating, all right, some favor from him, you know, in terms of direction, where are they going, so that he can know where to go, which the Lord has said he will be able to overtake. So he comes in contact with this ally. Brethren, if I may say anything at this point, do you need divine favor for where you're at? how to come out of it and how to move in the direction you ought to go. If you commit everything, commit your ways unto the Lord, if you lean not on your understanding, the Lord can orchestrate allies for you. The Lord can orchestrate people, help from the sanctuary. That's the way I put it. Destiny helpers along the way. There's so much the Lord can do for you in addition to just strategy, a direct answer. So when we're looking at walking with God, there's so much to benefit. Some other things you're not even now. How did they know they were going to meet this man? They had no idea. You know, so it is in our lives. I remember, and I want to stretch this point at this particular, we spent some time looking at the character traits of God. Omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere, omniscient, all-knowing. So when you are having situations you don't know the beginning or the end, that's not an issue for God. When you are in situations where you have no power or no, all of those categories above and beyond, God is not having a supply problem. But if you will spend time to, you know, look in the vertical direction to get a download, to like the Bible said to us in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, if you can key into that union you have with him, you know, key into your place of communion, there's a lot that the Lord can offer you. Remember we're saying, what do you do when you've lost everything? What do you do when all has failed? What do you do when you make a terrible decision? We can see all of this in the story of David here. What do you do when your whole team is against you? They were about to stone him. Yeah, you can imagine 600 men on David. You know, it's not funny. Anybody been in leadership role, even just five people against you, it's not easy. Then you have 600 revolting. Hey, our gentleman here runs a whole football team. Sometimes they don't agree with you. Sometimes 22 of them. Sometimes, oh boy.
Sometimes they tell you you don't know what you're doing. Sometimes they'll come to me. It's just
and yet you are their coach. You know, so we all go through these situations, but there's a lot to learn here. So I think the bottom line is, you know, in your walk with the Lord, their allies, there's wisdom the Lord will give to you. Even from just following that instruction, it will open you up into favor. It'll open you up to connections with people. It'll open you up into wise counsel. The list is endless, but I think you're better off acknowledging him, and he says he will always direct you in the way that you need to go. You know, and so I think that's what we've learned even from today's session. Okay, so lovely people, we'll take another break. All right, and we'll see after our break how much of this story we can capture before the end of our program today. See you after the break.
Always by my side. know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God.
Lovely track there. I don't know if you're listening to the words, you know, the words in that song. Very apt for what we're teaching. You know, the one who goes before me, the one who is behind me. We're talking about the ultimate king who is always in the background. Is he the one that goes before you? Is he the one that is with you? Do you look unto him for and acknowledge him in all that you do? We're talking about walking with God. So important. Then he says, the God of angels army is always by my side. He's the Lord of hosts. You know, come on, just for him, let's just ponder on that point. The Lord God of the angels' army, the Lord of hosts. This is who you want to walk with. I don't know about what you're walking or what you think you are doing. Let him lead. Let him pronounce the strategies. He's the field marshal, you know. But like we said at the beginning, men always want to do things in their own strength. And they always fail because they're human, you know. And I think we read these things, and as we're talking about walking with God, it's important, a lot of lessons to learn from this. He says he is faithful, you know, he is faithful. Nothing goes beyond his justice. Hello? Everybody will give account before is the righteous judge, you know. You know, so there are a lot of things, you know, and he says also, you know, he's holding on to his promises. Are you aware of the promises of God towards you? Even in the battle, even in the tough times, even in your tough seasons, God's promises to you are still yea and amen. You know, so listeners, rather than just, you know, run through the scriptures, it's good to ponder, to meditate. There's a lot to learn about this. I think during the break, I was talking with Yinka. What other things did you observe from this story in terms of the different men and how they responded to God, who is in the background?
I think we were talking about...
You are not talking about Saul.
Yes. Right. Yeah, because I know Saul wasn't really mentioned in this apart from the beginning.
Yeah, but he's an early part of the story.
Absolutely.
That leads to David.
Yes.
I remember we're looking at the choices of the people in wanting a king.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it's in that journey they had Saul as their first king, and then they're coming into David as another king.
Yes.
But they're both human.
Yes.
And we're talking about the ultimate king who is, yes, always in the background.
Absolutely.
Remember,
yes,
the song says he walks beside me.
Yes.
He goes before me.
Yes.
Let everybody be aware he's always
nothing,
there.
Nothing can be hidden from him, so yeah, you might as well tag along.
So
with
what
him.
Did you notice about Saul?
We can look at it in that journey aspect. I'll end this with two questions.
We have homework.
Maybe you'll be able to help us out. So the first question is Saul, did God want, you know, you can almost think of it, did God want an excuse to get rid of Saul based on his promise? Or secondly, did David have something else that Saul didn't have? And what I'm trying to say here is this, that Saul made some mistakes. Like he disobeyed God's instructions when he spared a king that he shouldn't have spared, King Agag, and then kept some of the best livestock.
Well, I think that's what we're talking about, the disobedience of Saul.
Yes.
Okay. That was one of his mistakes.
Yes.
All right.
He made a presumptuous sacrifice without asking Samuel to do it.
So he didn't recognize the prescribed protocol,
which, okay, I think is not, he shouldn't be doing it. And then he also lacked faith and obedience, I think, generally, throughout his leadership. But when I looked at David's mistakes, and I just have a few bullet points, I think David probably even did worse things than Saul.
So David was even worse,
probably.
But the Bible says that David was a man after God's heart.
Uh-huh.
So what did David know that he doesn't have a good CV or track record?
He doesn't. So,
but yet he's a man after God's heart.
So is it because God has already given that word that, you know, he's after my own heart, or, you know, I've chosen him and his line, his throne will be established forever? Or is it because when we think about it, I think when Samuel challenged Saul, I think Saul gave out, I think his response was, "Don't take the kingdom away from me," or something like that. And then I think when David, when Prophet Nathan accused David of doing wrong, David eventually, in Psalms 52 or 56, his prayer was, "Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me."
Right.
So I think David was more repentant and was more interested in things of God. He actually wanted to do God's will, whereas Saul never wanted to lose
the kingdom, the what power. He had control over.
Well, so
right. So then the question is, what then is your God? Oftentimes, people hold on to what God has given them.
Yes.
And they make that their idol.
Yes.
You know, and that's a very important mistake of Saul that we can learn from.
Yes.
The very things that God gave to them. Come on, let each of us consider, what is it you have that was not given to you? You came to this world with nothing.
Nothing.
You know, and then to now want to be clinging to things that are supposed to have been a blessing, things that are supposed to help you, you know, and control and how they put it, any form of control over humans, watch this, not over stuff, is witchcraft.
Yes.
And a lot of people really take their control of stuff out of the boundaries and into controlling other people, which is looked at witchcraft.
Yes.
So, you know, we just have to be really careful here. Whereas I think the primary thing with David, in spite of the many mistakes he made, he was a man after God's heart. Like you said, when he came to that place where he was challenged, he was more concerned about losing God's presence. I think the ultimate thing here, all we have, all we are, is because of God.
Yes.
And if we keep that as our focus, it is Him that we have to give account to. It is Him we're walking with. Whether we acknowledge Him or not, He's always in the background. And I think the important lesson here is to learn that in our walk with God, we must understand the things that are pleasing to God. You understand? He says, if your sins be as crimson, come, repent. And that was something David knew how to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He didn't wash away the consequences, but the Lord will acknowledge his repentance and draw him back in. You know, and it's not as if we take God's forgiveness for granted, but God is, if you come to understand the God with which you are dealing with, that he will even, he says, who is man that you are mindful of? Why would you even use us? Why man cannot understand how such an awesome, powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. What do you want to do with human beings? But he has invested so much in us. He trusts us so much. He takes risk with men, human beings. And we see a lot from this story. You know, so lovely people, there is a great deal to learn from these stories. Remember, these kings are human beings. But we're looking at their walk with God at different phases of their own journey and trying to learn a couple of things from each of them through these experiences. You know, and I think there was a place where, I think the same First Samuel chapter 27, it says David had grown tired of running away from Saul, as Saul was always on his trail. It seemed never ending. Anybody been there before? Somebody's on your case. You're under this pressure. Hello, anybody? And all you want is your peace. You just want to fight. And he remembers the promises of the prophet Samuel. Okay? You know, and sometimes the promises of God to you are yea and amen. You know, and even though we have our strategies, okay, we have to make sure that to override and be in a secure place, still take your plans to God. Make sure you inquire from the Lord. Again, that's another difference we see between Saul and David. And we see that in chapter 30, David recognized this. He was at his wit's end, and he decided to call the priest to acknowledge the Lord. And he, on the other hand, with Dave, with Saul, he just dismissed that office. You know, may the Lord help us to recognize our destiny helpers. Amen. May we know that God had put them in that position for a reason. The Bible says he gave gifts to men. Why? for the equipping of the body. So these gifts of men are in men. These gifts of men are, you know, blessed in the graces that God has given these different men. So you'll have the pastor, they have their grace. The apostle has his own grace. The prophets have their grace. But all these gifts were given to men for the equipping of the entire body. So we must recognize, and I think I mentioned in one of our earlier studies, where the purpose of any blessing of God, any provision of God, or any protocol is not known, then it's open to misuse and abuse. And I think a lot of people misuse this because they don't understand it, you know. So in all your ways, acknowledge him and pray that the Lord will take you to a place of understanding in your walk with God. There's a lot about ourselves, a lot about the people around us, a lot about, we're talking about that earlier in our, you know, discussion. You know, their networks, their people God puts around you. And sometimes you can have it, but you don't know the value, you don't know, so you're going to misuse it, you're going to abuse it.
Some people feel like they need to, you know, walk alone, you know, like they're strong, I can do this on my own. Hey, I think some people feel like they have to prove a point to people.
You are a tree in a forest. A tree doesn't make up the forest.
Yeah.
So. You know, the earlier you understand that, it's not about you growing, you know.
Good.
So, you know, I think we picked up a couple of points here. Be good to summarize on a few of them. But if you have been listening to the program, you can always listen to the repeats. There's a lot we have learned about walking with God, looking at these characters, King Saul, King David, you know, even King Achish. Very interesting man.
Yes.
Would you say that's another
that's another
character?
Yeah.
But he gave favor to David. But was David even straight with him?
No, David was
the kind of things he was
shrewd.
Doing. Exactly. The kind of things David was doing behind him.
Yeah.
You know, David was a very interesting character.
Yeah.
You know, and yet he's still a man after God's heart.
I think people look at David, they think, oh, he's just a very nice, soft boy. But,
but when you read the scriptures, you find, listen, man, he was not, you know, he's an interesting character. That's all I can say about David. There's a lot to learn about David's walk with the Lord.
I just thought about something as I went when he wanted to build God the temple. God said, no, there's too much
blood on your hand.
Too much blood on
your
hand.
You've so just been killing
says,
people.
It says a lot
but we
about
can
the
see
kind
from
of
these stories the number of raids he had and the number of territories, you know. But God had made a covenant. Sometimes it may be, and I think, thank you, Holy Spirit. I think that's an important thing. Sometimes God makes a promise or he makes a covenant. And if it doesn't get to the person directly, it can be to that lineage. And that's one of the things we learn about David, Solomon, you know, and all of that. You know, that sometimes the promises are to a lineage. So it depends on who in that lineage will meet God's criteria. And you're not going to know God's criteria if you're not coming in the close proximity with the one who is the promise giver, the one who is giving you the inheritance. You know, there's so much we can learn, you know, from this. So lovely people, it'd be good to do some more study on your own. But I think the points we've highlighted here on walking with God and looking at these two kings and how they deal, you know, with the challenges they've faced with, and particularly how they sought the Lord or didn't, as the case may be, and the benefit. But when we go back into 1 Samuel chapter 30, you know, we find that in our humanity, you know, comes through in anything that we're doing, you know, not leaning to what is the will of God or the counsel of God, you know, we too will struggle, you know, and that's very clear in both of these cases, you know. So instead of God, get me through this, it is more of, you know, you recognizing what God's will is so you don't get into tight situations, you know. And obviously, as we know with David, there were consequences, even though the Lord forgave him for his actions, and God made that clear. So yes, I forgive you. I hope you've had a repentant heart. I hope we've had a turn. I keep saying it's not your turn till you turn. So people, we want our turn to take delivery of God's promises, take delivery of God's blessings, but you must turn. So the message always starts with repent. You know, repent from your evil ways, repent from your ways of thinking, repent from your behaviors. You know, it's a constant message through the scripture. And so God uses this event to redirect David okay, back to himself. All right, so very interesting story here. All right, so it's important that we really look at this story. I hope these points have really helped us as we look at walking with God. Mm. I think this was a really good example that we could learn a lot of. Mm. And you know, I don't have any last few words.
There was a scripture that I was thinking about as you were saying something about God's faithfulness, something about keeping his promises, a covenant for 1,000 generations.
Yeah, he keeps his covenants for generation to generation, even to 1,000 generations.
Yeah,
basically God is talking about a consistency of his he's not a man that would lie.
Right, yes.
God is not a man that will lie. Some other scripture says he watches over his word to perform it. Now, I think the bottom line there is, if you're acknowledging God and he keeps his promises from one generation to another, this is not chop and change.
Mm-hmm.
That is the rock of ages. It's not shifting.
Yes.
I think the Bible says whoever kicks against the prick, you know what you're going to face. And if you trump to the rock of eternal ages, you're going to be smashed to smithereens.
Yes.
So it's not something that is shifting. So in terms of stability, in terms of, you know, consistency, you want to stay with the Lord and make sure that, you know, he's always leading you. Lovely people, it's been a blessing being with you today. I hope you've thoroughly been blessed with our session. Once again, thank you, Yinka, for being with us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are welcome. And lovely people, do some homework. Spend some time to meditate on the points raised and look at some other details in the lives and characters of these, you know, very interesting kings. Well, there are two major ones here, and the King Achish, there's a lot we can learn from him as well. He came to the picture at some point, you know, giving David access to Ziglar, you know, which became David's headquarters for a number of, you know, years or period of while. I pray that the Lord will grant you favor, the Lord give you understanding, the Lord cause the grace upon his word to be released to each and every one of our listeners. May the Lord help you, the Lord strengthen you, the Lord provide wisdom for you. May the Lord give you counsel. Bible says in the multitude of counsel you wage war. So in your time of need, may he be a strength in the day of trouble. May he be the strength behind you. He said, lean not on your own understanding. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Till we meet again same time next week on the same channel here in Radio Africana. I hope you've had a blessed day. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and bye for now.
I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've been a lot of places, and I've seen millions of faces, but there were times that I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hour, yet those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. That's the reason I say that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Let me tell you that through it all, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. Oh, if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in his word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all,